Well, honestly, it's actually one of the better stories throughout the sports world this year, and really onward and upward now to the next several years at least. And that is the Joe Mazzulla story, kind of a surprise story for many. And a lot of West Virginia fans have been following him for a while, so certainly aware of the Joe Mazzulla story. But even once he became an assistant with the Celtics and then they went to the finals last year, I don't know anybody expected for us to get here so soon after the fact. But nonetheless, we are here, and it could be a future Disney movie. But as we stand, Joe Mazzulla now the full-time head coach of the historic Boston Celtics. So not only does he finally land that NBA job that he always wanted, but he does it with one of the marquee positions in sports, and at 34 years old. So a former Mountaineer player, obviously, Granville State, Fairmont State, assistant with the Celtics, and then all of a sudden head coach with the Boston Celtics. It took some drama to get him there, but he's obviously doing a great job and up with the best record at the All-Star break, coaching in the All-Star game itself. And we'll see how it finishes, but to even get here right now is remarkable in and of itself. I'm Mike Osti, and this is another episode of Mike Drop here on the Believe Network and the Believe platforms, as well as, of course, WV Sports Now. Make sure to find this show, as well as everything else we do and put out with Believe, throughout Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, etc., everywhere you get your podcasts, and also find all of our coverage of the Mountaineers, because Mazzulla is a Mountaineer, at WV Sports Now. Subscribe to our channels and also follow us on social at WV Sports Now. And I am going to kind of get the full story here, because a lot of West Virginia fans, I'm sure, even us in the media, even people in general, maybe pretty much anyone who doesn't cover the Celtics or who is around the Celtics every day, even Celtics fans may not know the full story on how Mazzulla got here, maybe how surprising this really has been, what it's been like of Joe Mazzulla coaching the Boston Celtics, and how it's been different than last year, because the roster kind of the same. They're also very, very good, and they were just in the finals. And then really why this decision now to name him full-time head coach, to give him the stamp approval before All-Star weekend was when this was announced, and do it before the playoffs. Because one of the negatives, I guess, if there are any negatives, and that's just the pressure that comes with coaching an historic franchise. It's like coaching the Lakers as well, or say the Cowboys, Steelers, whatever in the NFL, Yankees, Red Sox, of course, in baseball, Red Wings, Canadians, list can go on and on. That it's a great job. It's a mountain peak position. It's where you want to get and where every coach eventually would love to be. But, and if you win there, you're in the history books forever, but there's tons of pressure. It's win or people are going to be upset. So the Celtics were just in the finals. Why not wait to see what he did in the postseason before fully locking him in for the future? But Brad Stevens and the Celtics decide now to do that and make him the full-time head coach. And to have this conversation, I am going to be now bringing on a man who does cover the Boston Celtics, covers them throughout the CLNS Media Network. He also hosts a podcast with Celtics great and radio analyst Cedric Maxwell. So maybe another time we'll talk about Cedric Maxwell and Cedric stories. I'm sure that could be an interesting show. But Josue Pavone joining me here on the show, as I tried not to mess up his name too much there. I hope I got close. I'll try to get better as we go, as I unmute his mic there. So Joe's way.
I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. Thank you.
thanks for jumping on for sure. And I kind of want to get the thought process from you and your colleagues in the media, and even those who are closely around the Celtics, first on this journey with Mazzulla in terms of when he was first promoted to being interim head coach, what you kind of knew about him then, and then how this has been a saga that right now has led the team to being the best team in the NBA right now at the All-Star break. And that starts with when he was promoted to head coach, and at the time, interim head coach, after the Udoka-Sama drama and all of that, Ime Udoka, when that came out and you learned all of that and that was foggy. A lot of us on the outside who don't cover the Celtics assumed that maybe Brad Stevens would just step into the job. Obviously, former head coach, has the bones to be able to do it, coach in college. Maybe it wouldn't be full term, you know, full time forever, but he would do it for a while. Didn't really happen. It went to Missoula. So what did you know about Missoula outside of him just being an assistant that was hired on the Celtics? And was that at all a surprising thing for you that he was made even interim head coach? Or did people that were close to the Celtics, seeing what he did with them last year, even as part of the staff, thinking, no, this makes tons of sense. This is the guy.
You know, it was a bit of a surprise, if I'm being honest, because just at the time, I mean, it made sense when the announcement was made, because we knew that that was Brad's guy, right? That was one of the only coaches that carried over into Ime's coaching staff throughout the 2021-2022 season. So we knew the familiarity there. Obviously, this team is trying to get back to the NBA Finals, so we understood that. But to your point, though, the Brad Stevens thing, that was certainly out there when the news first dropped about Ime.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, everyone was wondering what Ime did and what led to the suspension.
Right.
But once everyone was over the fact that Ime wasn't coming back, people wondered, well, is Brad going to step in there? I mean, Brad sort of put this team together. He's been, you know, looking from afar, obviously, but also implementing pieces that have really helped this team, especially last year. I mean, trading for Al Horford, essentially his first day on the job, was a huge step. And then, you know, looking down the road and the sort of move that he's made, he's obviously in a win now type of mode. And he wanted to make a seamless transition. And Missoula certainly checked those boxes, and it made sense. And obviously the players understood that this isn't ideal, right? I mean, Joe Mazzulla, obviously, to become an NBA head coach, you know, that's the plan, that's the goal, but he didn't see it coming this quickly. He didn't certainly see it coming together the way it did. So it certainly had that interim feeling. And I think that feeling lasted throughout. I mean, I want to say the first couple of months of the season, none of this really felt permanent. I mean, the only thing that did feel permanent, and this is just off of no reports or indications that how the Ime Udoka situation was going to unfold. However, after a couple of months or so, it was clear that he wasn't going to coach the Celtics again. Was it a litigation thing? Was there a reason why, you know, you couldn't strip the interim label off of Joe Mazzulla? Sure, people will also wonder that. I mean, and then also, you know, moving forward, I think we all knew Mazzulla would finish the season, but no one knew what was going to happen at the end of it. You know, maybe they were going to make a change. Maybe they wanted to wait and see how the team responded. And obviously they responded in a big way and being the number one team, you know, throughout the NBA up until the All-Star weekend. So, I mean, all of this makes sense. I agree with it. I think he is the right guy for the job. But waiting it out, when you consider everything that happened, the things that factored into him being in this position to be, you know, from the get-go, you can understand why there was a bit of trepidation there. You know, him being 34 years old, he's never been a head coach in the NBA. You know, somewhat limited experience, but this is a fit, though, right? I mean, the situation with the Celtics has been great. You know, for a team that's been number one throughout and really hasn't let go essentially all season long.
Yeah, and one of the nice things for him, of course, is he didn't just land his first NBA opportunity, a big opportunity in his career to take over after drama, which he would have obviously been thrilled if this was any NBA job and certainly would have accepted it on a promotion like this under the circumstances or not. But it's a team that just went to the finals, that really competed with the Golden State Warriors. And if a dribble went a different way, a bounce went a different way, a call went a different way, a game went a different way, I mean, it wasn't like they got the doors blown off. And it's the Boston Celtics that are always going to be interested in win now mode. So it was a good job in that way, that you can plug yourself in and you figure you can win. But of course, and you kind of alluded to this, so I also want to move now to present day and why we're doing this show now, that he was interim coach, didn't have NBA experience. And it's also needing to be said, he didn't even have high-level college experience as a coach. He played under a Hall of Famer in Bob Huggins that might be better than if he just played under any old coach, of course. He still calls Huggins. I'll tell you, they talk pretty much every week. Huggins tells us that at our press conferences. But Glenville State, Fairmont State, I mean, we're not even talking about D1, mid-major here that's even flirting with the NCAA tournament on a D1 level. He's never really dealt with that level of talent as a coach. So he had the interim tag. They were winning, but many also could say, if you want to be a critic or devil's advocate to making this decision now, is, as you said, many thought, why don't just wait to the end of the season? Obviously, the bar is high. They want to win a title. I'm sure there's Celtics fans that are going to say, if we don't get back to the finals, it's not a successful year, because they were just in the finals. And that's a lot of pressure on him. But why not wait to the end of the year, see how things play out, go into the summer, see if there's not a big name head coach that's out there on the market, because any coach, whether they're a Hall of Fame caliber or a 34-year-old, would love to be the head coach of the Celtics. You would imagine the landscape of the NBA changes every day, and certainly has changed now with the Nets no longer really being a contender, and they were involved at the time in thinking maybe Ime was going to actually end up as their coach. That didn't happen. So why not wait? Why do this now? Especially because people could argue that while Mazzulla is a fit, sounds like he's in tune with these players, they love him, and they're obviously winning, that maybe if either one of us was coaching this team, they would still certainly win a lot of games because they're very, very good and they were just in the finals. Like, we'll get to later, but how much of this really is Mazzulla? But why do you think this happened now? Because it didn't have to. I mean, Mazzulla would have had no leverage to say, if I don't get the job now, I'm going to walk. I'm not going to come back in the office next year. You know, the Celtics had the leverage here, but they caved and took away the interim tag with 30 games left in the season before the playoffs. I mean, this team, what if they get upset and lose in the first round? Are they going to regret that decision? We don't know yet.
Right. Well, I think with Brad Stevens, he just wanted this thing to be set in stone, that this was his team, that he is the coach, and that there wasn't going to be any plans moving forward. So I can understand that. And also, when you look at just the way he's handled what's been going on the last couple of weeks, I mean, there's been a lot of injuries, guys missing. I mean, what, Jason Tatum had like a stomach bug, he told us, you know, right before the All-Star break, that had forced him to miss some games. We also know that Brad Stevens is wanting these guys to take some days off before, you know, the end of the season, just to sort of preserve how many minutes they're playing a game. Guys like Jalen, guys like Tatum. I mean, Jalen, you know, fracture. You know, he suffered a facial fracture, and he missed a handful of games before the end of the heading into the All-Star break. But the Celtics continue to win. I mean, they dropped a couple of losses, but for the most part, I mean, they went 7-2 in those last nine games, and this was against quality teams. So I think that's also played a part here, where Brad was like, you know, not that he didn't trust Joe Mazzulla, but he's really impressed. And I think that he's sort of, this is his reward in doing that, and you know, seeing what how Mazzulla has put this team together, and how he really does respond, or the players respond rather, to the coach, and how much they really want to play for him. I think that stuff matters to Brad Stevens, whereas, you know, the experience and other stuff, you know, things about potentially bringing in a veteran coach doesn't carry as much weight when it comes to relationships with their players and coaches. I mean, Brad is big on that stuff, and I think he's, again, I think Joe Mazzulla checks all of those boxes, and he was ready to make this permanent.
Yeah, Josue Pavone, CLNS Media, also co-host of the Cedric Maxwell podcast, joining me here as we're talking Joe Mazzulla, the Joe Mazzulla story, as he now is the permanent head coach of the Boston Celtics here on Mike Drop on Believe, and of course, WV Sports Now for the West Virginia coverage. Obviously, a West Virginia connection here with Mazzulla, starting as a Mountaineer and getting now to the Boston Celtics, the fourth Mountaineer actually to be a head coach in the NBA. So we'll see where that career finishes out, because we're talking about Hall of Famers as the other one. So there's, again, pressure there. Now, regardless of what anybody thinks, he is the head coach of the Boston Celtics. The interim tag is gone. He's 34 years old. The team is the best record in the NBA. They were just in the finals. They are kind of a young culture, young group. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, etc. They're still young players, budding stars. They're the best players on this team. It's not like this is a team of 35-plus-year-olds that maybe a veteran Hall of Fame coach would be better suited for. So maybe he does really, really fit. But for those who don't know, and maybe only somebody who covers this team and talks to them every day could really articulate, how much of an impact has Joe Mazzulla actually made on this team? Because it feels like he's a fit. It feels like the players love being around him, even though it also feels like from the outside that he's a bit of a hard-nosed guy. And even looking at press conferences and seeing clips and things like that, it's almost closer to Bill Belichick than it is being a friendly person in terms of answering some of the questions. And we've interacted with him before. I've interacted with him before. Knew he wanted to be a coach, knew he knew basketball really, really well, but not this tough of a guy that maybe we're seeing now. So how much impact has he really made? Because with all of that said, again, this was a really, really good team a season ago. It was constructed. This is not a team he had to really tell how to play basketball. Like, this is a high-level team that would have been a playoff team no matter who's coaching them. Would they be the best team in basketball? Would they go to win a championship? We don't know. He's going to get credit if they do it. But this was a great situation to try to kind of learn on the fly. but how much of an impact is he really making on a team that was just in the NBA finals that is championship or bust, but it's his first time not only coaching in the NBA, but coaching high-level basketball at any level at 34?
I think he's making a significant impact. I really do. I mean, yeah, that stuff helps, right? I mean, the fact that they went to the NBA finals, this team for the most part is the same team we saw last year, but add a couple of big pieces like, you know, Malcolm Brogdon. I mean, he's been humongous for this team coming off the bench. The six-man guy, veteran, can tell guys what to do, can implement, you know, an offense and also scoring it while, you know, while also setting guys up. I mean, that's a big piece that Celtics didn't have last year. So, sure, I mean, that makes things easier. That made the transition easy. But you also have to credit Joe Mazzulla for what he does with these guys and letting them have a free-flowing offense. You know, I mean, a lot was made about him not calling timeouts at particular moments throughout the game where he could have, you know, stopped the run or, you know, put something together to really help these guys. But I think that's a credit to who he is. I mean, he likes to let his players go out there and figure things out on their own. And I think there's a happy medium, obviously, and he's actually improved in that regard in terms of calling timeouts at the right time, especially in the second half. But he's learning. I mean, we also have to remember that. I mean, there's a learning curve here. I mean, he can be stern with the media. I mean, he's
I like it, but it seems way. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I just think a lot of it has to do with, and I've said this before, he doesn't want the narrative to be about what he's doing, right? He wants it to be about the players. Okay. He wants it to be about the team. I think that's a lot. That has a lot to do with it, but he has to – there's going to be times where you have to explain yourself for things that you've done throughout the game. I mean, you know, being put on the spot is obviously part of the job, and I just think that's a part of the job that he's still learning. And I don't think it's. I mean, yeah, it's got a Bill Belichick vibe to it, but I feel like it's more of a it's less snarky and more of a his way of trying to keep up a poker face, if you will, right? I mean, he doesn't want to give you all his cards. He's going to show you all of his cards.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's got to give us something, though. You know, it's just.
Yeah. I could imagine your frustration a little bit. Yeah. Because I just watching the clip sometimes, like even when he's asked about what does it mean to you to coach in the All-Star game, and he'll give the answer of it's no big deal. It's like, well, it's obviously a big deal. Like, it is something to, you know, one word quote. You know, this is time to have fun.
Exactly. We need our quotes. Right.
Yeah, like, and like All-Star Weekend, this is time to have fun. This is time where you kind of, you know, let your hair down a little bit, even though like us, he doesn't have much hair to let down. And to still be kind of hard-nosed is interesting, but it does feel like he maybe is learning that part of it on the fly, because that's something to also be said, that not only is he jumping into a major job in general in the NBA, not even having had a major job in college, but it's Boston media. I mean, that's a whole region. That's a whole New England region, but it's also a major city, obviously. That's a lot to deal with. You're going to have media members that are very comfortable in their positions, that are very willing to go back at him if he goes at them. Like, there are going to be viral clips that national media are going to try to put out there and that others are going to try to find. That doesn't happen with every NBA job. So he certainly knows basketball, always had the mindset of being a coach, and Huggins has said he always thought he could be a great coach. But it's a whole different animal then of dealing with media, of dealing with pressure, et cetera. And we'll see in the playoffs, too. If they would happen to get down in a series after having the NBA's best record and being in the finals, the tone of those press conferences might be a little different. And he's going to get some media members.
Right. And he understands that part of it, too, right? I mean, he grew up in Rhode Island, local guy in New England.
Right.
I mean, he watched, you know, Mike and Tommy, like a lot of people have, you know, myself included. You know, growing up in this area and also having the great opportunity of covering this team, you know, for a handful of years. I mean, I think he gets all that, but it's one thing when you're thrown into it. And there were, you know, throughout this winter, parts of the season where things got challenging, and he was put on the spot. You know, there's a lot of tough questions, and I think he's improved in that part of his job, but he's still learning.
Yeah, and it also could be, because again, I know they talk constantly. It does also sound a little bit like Bob Huggins. It almost sounds like a little bit of him taking a page out of Bob Huggins' book a little bit, where Huggins every now and then gives us something in press conferences, but they're a lot of the time also very short answers, matter of fact. And he's not intentionally trying to do this, for lack of a better description. Huggins, and from what I've seen from Joe Mazzulla, the way he handles himself and sometimes answer questions, it almost makes you feel like maybe you were dumb for asking it. Like he answers it in a way like, yeah, like no duh. Like, obviously this is what I'm going to do. Obviously this is the call here. Like, obviously this is our team. We're going to keep it moving, like, you know, on to Cincinnati, like say Belichick would say. That's kind of how Huggins acts. And that kind of how it feels like Joe Mazzulla is acting here. Again, talking the Mazzulla story, talking Mazzulla now, the full-time head coach of the Boston Celtics. Best record in the NBA, but we're not at the playoffs yet, and I'm sure that's what he's going to be judged by. 3-4 years from now, all these best records in the NBA and not another finals. I'd imagine the Boston media will start maybe venturing towards criticism. But again, 34 years old, you're learning on the job. So to follow up on that then, what have you noticed, outside of just media dealings, but what have you noticed from Mazzulla that's changed from getting the job as an interim head coach off of drama, but a lot of pressure because the team was just in the finals. He knows they're good. He knows basketball, but had never been in this position prior. And a lot of Celtics fans may not have even known who he was if they weren't West Virginia fans. Really, there would have been no other way they would have known. And now where he's confident, he's handling press conferences like he's been there for years. And he is coming off a little abrasive, but it's because he's confident. He has the best record in the NBA, coaching the All-Star game, now the full-time head coach. And Brad Stevens is coming out there publicly and saying, I endorse this guy. That's only a difference of a few months, even though it feels like a really, really long season in the NBA now because it's covered year-round. What's been different from him? How did we go from there to here? Has he changed at all as a coach or person that you've been around? That you've noticed?
Yeah, I mean, as a coach, yeah, I mean the calling, the timely timeouts in the second half, I think has improved. I mean, the way the team is putting together plays at the timeouts, I think it's improved in that in that part of his job. You know, the Celtics, they would have these tendencies to the offense would just dry up, especially in the second half, third quarter after halftime. So he's done a better job of regrouping the guys and getting them to refocus. You know, from a coaching aspect, I think that's something that we've seen evolve. We know about his metaphors and stuff, the things that he's worked with the team. You know, sandcastles is one of them. How every day, you know, you have to put in the same amount of work, the same type of effort, because the next day you got to do the same thing over and over again.
Is that what he means by sandcastles then? I don't know if I've
heard that. That's what he means by sandcastles. Oh, okay. So you can put together the best win of all time, but you have to do it again and again and again. So he had this, he would put these pictures of sandcastles all over the locker room and stuff. And people,
I have not heard that.
The team joked about and you know, let us in a bit about his dealings. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, I think that stuff is pretty cool. And, and how, the team, the players are really connected with what he believes in. And, you can see these guys are generally like each other. You know, guys hang out after, you know, outside of, playing, you know, they went to a Jack Harlow concert, guys like Tatum, Pritchard, Blake Griffin, and they spent a lot of quality time together. And I think Joe Mazzulla, again, he's big on that type of stuff. And he, I think he leads in that, you know, making sure that guys are that close and that connected.
Is there any sense of this is a 34-year-old who's closer to the age of a lot of these players, of course? I mean, certainly talking Blake Griffin, they're not far away from each other. The others obviously are in their 20s, but closer to the age. Anime Udoka is not an old man, but then say another coach who already was established that could have been brought in to be the next Celtics coach. Is that maybe part of how this team has continued to gel so well that they do have? It's almost like, is there a possibility that this almost is an experience where he's a hard-nosed guy, he's comfortable, he's putting sandcastle pictures up everywhere, like it's gonna be his way or the highway? And I do kind of love that just in general in life. It does feel like Mazzulla always has been from college to now that if I'm going down, I'm going down my way. If I'm gonna succeed, it's gonna be my way. And that's kind of what you want. That's what this job needs. But is there any players coach vibe to him? Like if they're all hanging out, like is he hanging out with them? Are they liking him? Do they like playing with him from what you've experienced? Seems like Marcus Smart even really enjoys Joe Mazzulla, which a lot of players, even if they respect the head coach who's helping them have success, but usually when they're kind of that tough attitude, they don't necessarily want to hang out with them on the weekend. They're not really players coach like Bill Belichick. Him and Tom Brady weren't hanging out. He's not a player's coach. He's a great, successful coach, but not a player's coach. But is Mazzulla, maybe because of the age thing, still able to connect with these players in a way that it also connects with them personally which helps this team gel, and they want to win for him.
I think so. I think he certainly draws that line, though. I don't think he's going out to concerts and catching a movie with these guys. So there certainly is that line. But, you know, at the same time, though, I think when you think about how much time this team spends, you know, together, it's a lot of, you know, almost the same thing in a way, right? And I also think that when you look at what this team went through last year, the ups and downs. I mean, they didn't just cruise their way into the finals, right? I mean, this team was under 500 at one point.
No, they weren't supposed to be there, right?
Was there during all of that. So I think this, because of what they went through last year, I think that helped them in a huge way this season, because Ime didn't mess around, right? He held these guys accountable. He went in front of cameras and called out Tatum, called out Brown, you know, Marcus Smart, the leaders of this team. And I think that helped in them responding to that, right? I mean, there was talks about, you know how the city is. Yeah. Potentially this team should, you know, trade Jalen, just shut it down. Right. These guys can't play, can't lead a team. And then all of a sudden everything changed around January, essentially, right? Right after the new year. They did a complete 180 and rode that momentum deep into the playoffs and fell short. You know, they fell short against a dynasty team in the Golden State Warriors that obviously had one more run left in them. A heck of a performance from Steph Curry, you know, veterans, maybe Draymond Green got into these guys' head a bit. I mean, there wasn't a single player on that team that had even reached the finals before. So this was new for everyone, including the coaches. So I think all that, it weighs a lot on what this team went through together. And Mazzulla was in the middle of that. And I think Brad Stevens, again, you know, that carried a lot of weight in his decision who's going to take over, you know, Ime Udoka. And again, because of those experiences that this team went through with Ime, I think that's helped them in a big way. Whereas Joe Mazzulla doesn't have to be the tough guy, right? Doesn't have to be the badass who's calling guys out. I mean, well, first of all, that's not who he is, right? I genuinely think that's not the kind of coach. That's just not his style. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, I guess in long form, they, because of what they dealt with last year, I think it helps that he's not that guy, and that these, you know, 24, 25, 26 year old guys like Marcus Smart, who's more, you know, closer to 30, and, you know, Tatum and Brown, who are going to be 25 soon. I mean, I think, again, they've matured because of what happened last year. And you can even talk about what happened the years before that, right? Where they weren't the top guys, when there was, you know, Kyrie Irving in the mix, or was Kemba Walker, you know,
right?
These guys have been through it, you know, even though they're not that, they're not close to the 30 compared to some of the veterans that have been through experiences, you know, multiple trips to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that NBA, that trip to the NBA Finals, when you consider what they went through to get there, I think it helped them in a big way. It gives them an advantage compared to the rest of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. You just look at throughout the history of sports, certainly in the NBA, a lot of great teams, before they win that championship, they lose in the finals once, or they get to a conference finals and lose. Right. And you mentioned it. It was almost a perfect storm to not win the championship for the Celtics last year once they got to the finals. Like, getting to the finals was a great achievement. They weren't supposed to be there, but they are the Celtics, Boston media. If once you get to the finals, you got to win the title. They're going to hang banners for the title, not for just getting to the finals. But it was the Warriors. You still had everybody except for KD, basically. They're still very, very good. Yeah. They got healthy finally. They hadn't been that the last couple of years. And it kind of felt like once the Warriors got there, they weren't going to let that one get away, because they felt like a couple others got away from them.
Yeah, so their momentum was almost similar to the Celtics. And these guys, they just weren't healthy, right? I mean, the Celtics were relatively healthy, but the Warriors weren't. And then when they were at some 100%, it was 2 weeks away from the playoffs, so they just cruised right into the postseason.
They both kind of were riding high at the perfect time, exactly, right? And and you would think this is crazy. The Celtics, the Warriors, they're going to get there every other year. But prior to last season, the Warriors weren't supposed to go win a championship, and the Celtics weren't supposed to come out of the East. So they both were kind of surprise stories, despite being marquee franchises in major markets, obviously.
They were both 500, man.
It seems nuts. Now, obviously, the Warriors aren't having the year the Celtics are having this year. This year, the Celtics would be a little different of a surprise. They would not be a surprise. They are now kind of expected, and I'm going to get to here in a second on the pressure on Mazzulla, if that does exist at all. Josue Pavone here, CLNS Media and co-host of the Cedric Maxwell podcast, joining me here at Mic Drop on Believe and WVSN. So just a little bit longer, but I do want to get to that. What kind of pressure do you think exists? I mean, you know Boston media, you know the Celtics. Again, it's great to take over a team in your first job that's so good, that just was in the finals, that already has the experience of being together. They've been through the war. They've been through drama. They've won big games. They've had big losses, etc. in a short amount of time for the leaders that are so young. They get over drama of even KD coming in and replacing some of them this past offseason, and they get here. They got the best record. Yeah. But they have a 34-year-old coach who's never done this before. I'm sure they love him and they trust him, but they can't say they know for sure he's going to lead them through a championship. It hasn't been an experience. They just saw a coach do that who's no longer around. So he has a little bit of comfort now and a little bit of a security blanket that he does have the full-time job. They're not going to fire him if they don't win the title, obviously, in the offseason, which I did see Brad Stevens kind of say. He didn't want Mazzulla to just dangle out there and basically every game in the playoffs be coaching, thinking, if I don't win a championship, I'm gone. Wanting to give him a little bit of a break because it is that year on the job. Right. But what kind of pressure?
The narrative through the media.
Yeah, that would 100%. Even into the finals. If you're down in the final series, the media would have said, hey, just happened last year. Are you feeling like this is it for you because you had to win a championship, et cetera? That would have been annoying for you, for him, for the players. That might not have been the best recipe to win a championship. So that's gone now. But in reality, whether it's fair or unfair, what kind of pressure does exist on Joe Mazzulla as a head coach in particular? Because this is the Celtics. They were just in the finals, and they have the NBA's best record. Is it championship or bust? If they lose in the second round in an upset, will he start getting killed by the media? Are they giving him a break because he's a 34-year-old? Does he have now a leash, obviously, with the franchise for beyond this season? But what kind of pressure does exist? Because when you're a Celtics head coach, there's pressure there, whether it's fair or not. And you're 34 years old, it's your first major job. But hey, it's the Celtics, and the national media are going to throw that pressure on if the Boston media, don't.
Absolutely. I think there's some leeway there because the interim tag is taken off. It, you know, for sure. I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, if this team were down 0-2 in the series, and all of a sudden the talk is, well, is this guy prepared to do this next year? Maybe they stop listening to him. So I think all that goes away when you take away the interim tag and you had the belief in him. But yeah, I mean, people will still be critical, obviously. I mean, this is a big spot here. This team is expected to go back to the NBA finals. And I do believe if they don't, then it will be a bust. I think this team would be considered a failure. The season would be a failure if they didn't at least reach the NBA finals, whether they win it or not. I mean, people can make their debate depending on how things play out. But for now, I will say that if they don't make it to the NBA finals, this is a disappointing season. I mean, look, barring any major injury, which I do think plays a part in here. I mean, we're not sure which version of Robert Williams is going to show up. I mean, let's be honest here. And I think that had a lot to do with the Celtics addressing the front court concerns and bringing in someone like Mike Muscala, who's been great, right? Or Mike Muscala, who's been great, right? I mean, coming off the bench, he hits a couple of threes, kind of a rah-rah guy, can give you energy. So I think that sort of solidifies the second unit and the depth. Yeah. If there's one thing to be said about the Celtics team, you know, about the last couple of weeks heading into the All-Star break, is that we find out how deep this team truly is or truly can be, right? When guys are on and someone like Tatum or Brown isn't around. I mean, this team responded in a big way, even in a loss against the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, forcing those guys to go into overtime without essentially your starting lineup. No Marcus Smart, no Al Horford, no Jaylen Brown, no Jason Tatum. And this is the team that's supposed to be the toughest opponent you're going to see before, if you want to get back to the NBA Finals, right?
Yeah, that was an eye-opener. That almost felt like, I know that's from the vibe from the Bucks, that felt kind of like a loss for them.
That's who they represent, right? I mean, and then not to mention what they did against the Miami Heat. I mean, the Celtics made it look like they're in just a different stratosphere than a team like the Miami Heat, which, of course, pushed them to Game 7 last year. And people can argue that if Jimmy Butler makes a three-pointer, that the Celtics don't even reach the NBA Finals. So that's how close the margin of error was for the Celtics team. And in some regard, I think that is true. However, moving forward, they're deeper now. I talked about the Malcolm Brogdon move, which I think was huge for the Celtics. I mean, trading for a veteran like that who can not only facilitate the offense for you, can finish games, and can score anywhere between 25 to 30 plus points any given night, if you truly want to, right? I mean, that's how talented he is. So, I mean, again, I just think because of what the roster looks like, and again, barring any major injuries, I think there will be a lot of criticism about how Joe Mazzulla, you know, executed things, you know, late game execution, right? Subbing guys in and out. If anything, I think that's something that people will really keep a close eye on. If, again, this other team doesn't make it back to the NBA Finals, there's a second round upset. People, and again, there isn't any huge major injuries. People are going to wonder, well, what happened there? Because that's a very talented and deep Celtics team that fell apart when it mattered the most.
Yeah, because I'm sure they're going to say, I can write it for them already. It's one thing to coach a team to the best record into February and get it done from October to February. Right, it's a whole nother thing to coach in the postseason. I mean,
especially when you're being dissected, you know, obviously game after game, everything changes. Best of seven series, all of a sudden, you know, you're showing your cards. The other team is going to the type of adjustment that they have to make. It's things that Ime Udoka went through. Yeah, so for sure. I mean, you know, people can say what they want about Joe Mazzulla, but he was in the second row of that coaching staff last year. I mean, obviously he played a part, but it'll be interesting to see how he responds to those type of, you know, that kind of adversity that every postseason coach sees in a best of seven series.
Yeah, and you'll have coaches with more experience in those situations that you're going against. And while there's going to be tape on the team that you're talking about, maybe how they're different from this year versus last year and how they've been gelling, and there are pieces that have been tweaked that help the bench. Also, Joe Mazzulla's coaching style. I mean, earlier in the season, the timeouts, et cetera, as you're mentioning, they're going to be the other team, and the other coach and their staff are going to be able to see, well, Joe Mazzulla did this in November, but now he's doing this here, and he could do this, and this means this, and they're going to try to dissect everything about Mazzulla that maybe he had never experienced before, and now it's a long gauntlet. So we'll see. I mean, he was in a deep run with West Virginia in college basketball, but it's a gauntlet to do this year after year in the NBA with that media pressure and figuring every year postseason, feeling like a deep run needs to happen every single season. You know, it's rare for teams to get back just for the wear and tear on the body. So, again, 2 years in a row getting there, it's easier said than done, but it's certainly wide open. I mean, the Bucks, it's Giannis, and obviously they're going to have a chance with Giannis, and they have still a solid crew that's not too removed from a championship. Embiid and the Sixers are going to be there, but is his health even something they can rely on? And then everybody else feels like they're in a lower tier. So the West is crazy now, and they probably wouldn't be favored in the NBA Finals, certainly if it is, say, is right now the favorite of the Suns. But the East, you mentioned getting back to the Finals as being kind of like a minimum bar to stop any offseason criticism. Probably it doesn't sound fair because it's his first year on the job, and it's a crazy thing to expect, but it probably is the case because it's so wide open. You have to figure that if they don't get to the Finals, they're going to suffer an upset. Like, they're going to be favored in every series prior to the Finals. And unless it's the Suns, they might be favored in the Finals. That's really the only matchup they probably would get a break and say, well, you just faced the two hardest teams these past 2 years. So we will totally see. What kind of leash do you think though exists beyond this season? Cause the focus always is this season. They were just in the Finals, 34 years old. It is his first year on the job. He goes from interim to full-time middle of this year now. Obviously, what happens in the playoffs could be a factor here. If Brad Stevens sees him, oh, well, he just can't handle it in the postseason, we're going to have a meeting. He's not going to fire him, but that might make him wince a little bit, which is why some question the move now. But years from now, after this season, going into next season, what kind of pressure do you think will exist if, say, they don't win the championship? Will it be literally every year of Joe Mazzulla's career that is championship or bust? Because even though this is the Celtics, as you know from covering them, I mean, the Boston Celtics franchise has won one championship since Larry Bird retired, and that's under Doc Rivers. They got to another Finals. They didn't win that one. And now nationally, some criticize Doc that you only have the one ring. High expectations, but it's not like this is a lineage of him taking over for Red Auerbach here, where it's every year it's been a championship. So to go into every season now, where a championship or bust, that does tinge on being unreasonable, but is that the reality that Joe Mazzulla is going to have to deal with? That if you don't win it this year, okay, that's fine. It's your first year, but then you got to do it next year. Then you got to do it the year after that. Then every year it'll be, if we're sitting here 3 years from, basically, if we're sitting here 3 years from now, in your opinion, from covering this team, and he's not won them a championship, despite being so young and so inexperienced, at that time, he'll only be 37 years old. Will he eventually, will then that be, will they will actually consider firing him? Like, what kind of pressure will exist long-term?
You know, this window that they have, this opportunity that they have to win championships, I think the pressure remains for at least the next couple of years, or at least until going into next year, right? I mean, Marcus, the core guys, right? Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I mean, all those guys are locked in. So that's significant, because I don't see the Celtics shaking up that core, at least for the next couple of seasons, including this one, right? So that works in his favor. But I mean, down the road, who's to say what this team's going to look like? I mean, Jaylen Brown's obviously the first one that we're going to wait and see, you know, in terms of his contract and what happens there. And If he decides to stay, if he does get the Supermax, all that has to iron itself out. But the one thing that you look at from afar, or at least on paper, that this team is going to compete again next season, because guys are under contract. They had that great balance of veterans and young guys like Tatum, Brown, Smart, veterans like Brogdon, Al's, you know, still getting up there a bit, but still effective, right, in his position. What they do with Grant Williams will be interesting. Sure, that'll be a talking point of the offseason. He will be a restricted free agent. So any team out there, the Celtics can match their offer. But if it's through the roof of what reports have been saying recently, which is somewhere of $20 million per, I mean, he might be on his way out of Boston.
NBA money's wild these days, man. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the good thing about the Celtics, though, is that the big pieces, they don't have to fill in those holes, right? They don't have to go out and get a perennial all-star or even someone of a six-man role, because they already have those roles figured out. And I don't see that changing within the next couple of playoff runs. So I think that works in Joe Mazzulla's favor. However, I don't think that takes away any of the pressure. Going into next season, if they were to fall short of winning a championship, I think that pressure remains. And then after that, depending on how the roster looks going into, I don't know, the 2024-25 season, we'll have to wait and see. But for the most part, I would say the next couple of playoff runs, yeah, that pressure is going to remain.
Yeah, and this is a rare offseason for Jaylen Brown in particular, but certainly the Celtics, definitely him personally, that win or lose the championship, outside of minor pieces, and maybe they'll add somebody, but it probably will be a rare offseason without the major question mark, or the Celtics going to trade for Kevin Durant and try to shake this up and add a premier superstar
that's above their level. That's been happening every summer, it feels like, right? That's
right, true. Right. At least the last two, because once it looked like the Nets thing was going to continuously be drama, and he put the trade request in, and Kyrie doing what Kyrie was doing, and now that's totally been broken up. Right, yeah. Kyrie left Boston first. That it always was, well, weirdly enough, because you don't normally hear this about a rival, that will the Celtics go try to land KD? And if they do that, they got to give up one of the big two, obviously. Do they need to kind of make one of them the Robin and make Kevin Durant the major guy? And maybe they can't do it together. It kind of, to compare it for all NBA fans, it almost felt like what happened to the Raptors years ago before they won the championship. They had Kyle Lowry, they had DeMar DeRozan, and the Raptors eventually said, well, we have a chance to get Kawhi Leonard. So DeMar, it's been wonderful. Great, we'll probably retire your number someday. You're gone. Sure. He's better. We're going to win a title. And they did with those two, and he just got left out. It felt like maybe the Celtics were contemplating that. But in the offseason, that's now not going to be a thing. I mean, certainly not for KD. He's not going anywhere now. So that might make it a comfort for Mazzulla and company that this could be a calm offseason, win or lose, as rare as that sounds. What I do want to ask Josue Pavona, again, of CLNS Media and co-host of the Cedric Maxwell podcast, and this isn't necessarily Mazzulla, but the other end of this story that is now totally, really left the consciousness, certainly when he didn't get hired by the Nets, and I guess that's a blessing now because that whole thing got broken up, and now with Mazzulla clearly the guy, and they were kind of little under the radar reports now, because I saw a lot of Celtics fans were asking, well, what does this mean for Ime Udoka? Does that mean that he is definitely gone? Like severed ties have happened. And it now feels like that is the case. Some Celtics media have come out there and said, yes, that's true. But these weren't major reports. There was no press conference about this. It was kind of under the radar, and maybe that was intentional because they knew it would get into a drama if they did anything more for it. So can you confirm that he is now no longer in any way involved with the Celtics? And just from somebody who's covered him as well as covering this team now under Mazzulla, what do you think his future could be in the NBA? Can he salvage the drama that existed and still a very young man, a successful man as a coach because they just went to the finals, and get himself another job? Because this is a different world that we're living in now, but this isn't the first time that somebody of a authority position maybe had a relationship with somebody he shouldn't have had one with, or maybe even a coach. We don't know about what's gone on through the history of society or sports. And it got all out there, and it's a stain on his resume for sure. Do you think he gets another opportunity? Do you think he should get another opportunity? And how do you think he's kind of been handling this? And will he get back in the league? And is he now gone? And have they severed ties with Udoka from the Celtics? Because that's the other end of this that has now just gone away, with Mazzulla having so much success.
Yeah, I think all the reports are indicating that they've severed ties completely. And I think that was always the general feeling that was going to happen. Yeah. And now this just made it official, you know, going into the All-Star break and naming Joe Mazzulla officially the head coach, the 19th head coach of Celtics franchise history. But, you know, to answer your question, though, I do think he does get he gets a second chance, but I don't know if it's going to be right away. But we'll see. I mean, I think what happened with Brooklyn and them balking on the decision, right. I think that really hurt him, right? I mean, the backlash that Brooklyn received from the public, you know, people on Twitter saying, yeah. How could you bring this guy back? Yeah. I don't think that helps him. Do I see him, if he does get a job during the offseason, going to one of those teams that's just really, you know, stacking up first-round picks and in a big rebuilding phase? Maybe, potentially, but I just think most organizations are gonna be worried about the backlash and becoming a hashtag and, you know, people coming after them and just bad PR. However, yeah. Becoming an assistant first, I think is something that's probably more likely. I just don't know if Ime Udoka would do something like that. I don't know. Do you, if you're Ime, do you hold out and look for a head coaching job, wait for a team that a franchise that's put in a force in the position that you know, or you think that there's something down the road waiting for you? Maybe he does that, or he's just trying to change his image immediately and he takes the first job that's offered to him. And if it's an NBA assistant, he'll take it. I honestly think that would be the best way, the best step. But probably he may think differently, right? He may think that, hey, you know, I brought that team to the championship, and you know, if I can just wait for time to pass and people could sort of forgive me, you know, maybe you go out and do a sit-down interview, you know, on ABC or something, or you want the whole yeah. thing to go away. I mean, we right. don't know the entire story. So maybe Ime doesn't want any more light shed on what happened and why he was suspended to begin with. So I think he can't have it both ways right now, it looks like, right? Not enough time has passed. So maybe he waits it out, or I would say the other way is he's offered an assistant job somewhere.
Yeah. And it does feel like there's a tight knit fraternity of coaches that, eventually, if he still wants to coach, somebody probably would let him sit on their bench and be an assistant just because he has friends. I mean, he did have success.
Right.
That probably could
for a really long time. Right.
Right. And doing that would not get him out there in a press conference after every game. I don't think the national media would come for it as much right. as like
it the would fly under the radar in a way. Right.
Right. I mean, maybe, it might. Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah.
Right. And it might. And that was actually even a thing that was brought up a little bit with Jason Kidd, that Jason Kidd had maybe some Cowboys in his closet, obviously a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
The Lakers didn't want to give him the job because they thought the PR was going to be wild, which it still was a little bit. They let him be an assistant. He won a title there. And then now he's obviously having tremendous success as a head coach in the NBA with the team that he won a title with as a player. So somebody will help these people out once, you know, their fellow coaches, once the dust settles. But I think you hit on the nail on the head. I think time has to pass. I think we're not even a year later. Time has to pass. And for everybody defending him, because it still kind of feels odd with the way that was handled, put out there so much on Front Street, even though we don't know so much. Like the confusion was, why are the Celtics airing their business when we don't even know what really happened? Yeah. And there's so many rumors, etc. But as you mentioned, if you do a sit-down interview, you're going to have a journalist like us who's going to really go after it, and you may look bad.
You may have to tell
the whole story. People might investigate. They're going to fact-check what was discussed in the interview, and that could be bad for you.
Right.
So maybe just chill.
Lead to other names being popped up or other people who are close to the situation weighing in on it. Then all of a sudden, it's bigger than it was when initially first came out.
You could have another victim per se, or somebody that maybe he was,
or even someone close to the situation saying, that's not what I remembered about it, or that's not what I was told, and then Nia Long's name to be dragged again. I mean, all of that,
right, which he wouldn't want. Yeah, his wife and kids, and
that's the mother of his kid, regardless of what they are, you know, what their relationship is right now. That's the mother of his son, you know. So
yeah, and she's put out there that his kids have had to face a lot in school, which you know you can imagine. So you don't want to have that go on again.
Situation. Right.
So maybe, maybe being an assistant would at least let it go under the radar. You just don't know.
But it'll
be interesting what happens to him, because you have a coach that, I mean, if we're talking a year ago, he was the Cinderella story, a young coach leading the Celtics to the finals, certainly towards the playoffs, and now it's Mazzulla.
That Brooklyn stuff, I mean, that was 2 months into a suspension. I mean,
that was too soon. That was too long.
That was way too soon. And I think you, you right. push, you kick the can down the road, and you wait to see how the public responds. But so far, I mean, you took the temperature, and it wasn't good, you know.
Yeah, no, that I mean, again, in reality, because hearing from KD and Kyrie, it was clearly all about Kyrie's contract, and once that contract wasn't going to happen as an extension, and
maybe they wanted
KD
him.
Wasn't going to be there.
Maybe that was the guy they wanted, because obviously there was some familiarity there. He was an assistant at Brooklyn,
right? So maybe
the Celtics job. So maybe that was their guy. Maybe that was their way of salvaging any trade, any trade request. But
it could also
Jack Vaughn did though. Jack Vaughn.
Yeah,
he did the absolute best he could, brought him to second place, and still wasn't enough. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I mean. Like, no matter who was coach, you could have brought Phil Jackson in out of retirement. They were probably going to still break the band up, and it would have just been, somebody would be sitting there holding the bag. It would have been like the Fresh Prince picture from the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith in the house, like everyone moved out. So, I mean, in all reality, it probably was a better scenario that he didn't get that job, because if he stayed there after this season, despite success this year for the Nets, it wouldn't really probably be a winning culture for a few years. And it also could have been that the players like Katie and Kyrie, especially, they might've went out there, because there's so much going on with the Nets this past year. I mean, they might've went out there and said, we want Ime. He was our guy. He's going to be your guy. And the Nets said, we don't want to bring in your guy, because you won't even agree to show up every other week. So they might not have wanted to bring in a guy that was Kyrie's guy, because they didn't know Kyrie was really committed. So the whole thing is a mess, and maybe it's best he wasn't there, because it's his drama versus their drama. We'll see about the future, though. I imagine another opportunity will happen. But the more success Mazzulla has could potentially actually maybe hurt his case, because there might be people out there. I mean, he built it up, but I don't know. You hope he's not ending up as a footnote in NBA history and Wikipedia someday, that this guy coached them to the finals once and then Mazzulla took them to whatever they end up becoming. But who knows? Maybe there's more that we don't even know about what happened to that. Maybe there's not, who knows, again, a lot of that will still come out. Certainly if he gets back in the NBA, maybe an assistant is his path, if he can handle that mentally because of what he just succeeded on, or maybe college somehow. I don't know. I mean, we've seen a lot of coaches with a lot of cobwebs in their closet get opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and some of them had to take humble pie to go way down to a lower level than where they've been. So I'd imagine that can happen with Ime, at least one more job if he does want it. We will see, though. But as we close up shop, just Josue, and again, I appreciate the time for sure. We could talk about this all day, because the Joe Mazzulla story is just so incredible with what's happened this year. And he got a lot of fans around the country, certainly a lot of Mountaineer fans rooting for the Celtics now. Is there anything that you still don't, that's not been mentioned yet on this show, that the public overall does not realize or is not aware about Joe Mazzulla? Because again, in the national consciousness, he's not been out there that long, and again, he's leading the franchise, an historic franchise, to the best record in the NBA at the All-Star break. We'll see about the playoffs.
I guess he's a bit of a jokester in a way. I saw a first count, someone taps your right shoulder who's standing on your left. Makes you turn. I mean, he did one of those to Derek White, except I was the guy on the other side, so Derek White's looking at me like, and I'm like, dude, that was your coach. So I thought that was cool. That happened in Charlotte, and he kind of just took off laughing. I was just like, so you don't see that every day, right? And I don't think that's again, when people talk about the Belichick vibes, I'm like, yeah, a little bit in the post game, but he does other stuff too. You know what I mean? It's like he does stuff that Belichick would never do. And I thought that was cool, because obviously doing that in front of the media, he wasn't shy. You know what I mean? Like, it was something that happened quickly and something that you can tell. He keeps things pretty light, and I think there's obviously have to be a happy medium there, but the way this team is evolving, I think it's a good thing. You know, I don't think it's in the other way, whereas some other teams, you just see that separation in the locker room, or just the continuity is just not there anymore. I mean, look at the Phoenix Suns before they made the trade for Kevin
Durant. Right. I mean,
100%. You just could just tell, like, these guys, like, it's not going to work. You know, I mean, look, the Western Conference is tight. There's a lot of teams fighting for positioning and all that, but the Phoenix Suns, when you think about the talent that they have and the momentum that they've had, the first month or so, I mean, it looked like they were one of the teams that were positioning themselves to be one of the top teams. And just the way things have sort of unfolded, and guys, you hear various reports about the tear in the locker room and stuff like that. Like, you never want stuff like that to happen. And it does happen in the NBA. It's just natural. You're spending a lot of time with with one another, and that can trickle down from the coaching staff, whichever the situation may be. But the Celtics have just kept things really solid, and I think Joe Mazzulla has a lot to do with that. I really do.
Yeah, and that can happen in the NBA, especially because that it's a besides the NFL, it is the most covered nationally year-round league in the country. And a lot of the time, people are looking for drama, and the Celtics experienced it when Kyrie was there. There was some drama there. Now it does feel like, it does feel like Mazzulla, he makes it clear he's in charge. I'm above you, even though you're a player. Maybe you're making more money than me, but you're going to respect me because I'm in charge here, which is a weird dynamic in the NBA that does exist. When you're a star, you're really running the ship. But it doesn't feel like any of those players are trying to take over from Mazzulla or trying to run the ship. It doesn't feel like they're trying to tell him what to do. It feels like there's a respect level there from Mazzulla to the players to Mazzulla. But he's also close on their age. You can have some fun, keeps the vibe light, because if it's too tight, you're going to really press and you're probably not going to succeed the way you should succeed. And there hasn't been Celtics drama like there's been drama in Brooklyn, in Phoenix, in LA, like Miami. Right. There's drama everywhere else in major markets, but not
these guys have matured. You know, they've matured in a big way. They've come a long way from the team that was in the bubble, right? I mean, the reports of a shirtless Marcus Smart yelling out of the locker room and that kind of, like, you know what I mean? Like that feels so long ago, because that's that's how so far removed these guys are from being that type of dysfunctional for us hearing that type of dysfunction going on. And I think a lot of it started with the beginning of last season. Hire Ime Udoka, new chapter where it was crystal clear as to whose team it was. It was Tatum and Brown, you know, and Marcus, sure, like the three of those guys, you know, whereas before it was another veteran and those are the younger guys who are learning, you know, Kemba Walker. You know, the Kyrie and Gordon Hayward years. I mean, Gordon going down in game one, I mean, that completely changed the trajectory of the identity of that team in some regard. But they went through all that and the dysfunction and being a disappointment when the team had you, and when national media had you as becoming the number one team coming out of the East, and you had all those guys, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris, you know, other ancillary pieces that made names of their own because of that year when Kyrie got hurt. But then you put it all together and they lost in five games to the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, so it just goes to show you can obviously put together the most talented team and give yourself a shot, but there also has to be that continuity. It has to be that connectivity and guys 1 through 8, you know, guys 1 through 9. And I think right now this Celtics team is the best I've seen them, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years. This Celtics team, for sure, talent wise, I mean, it's the best one. It's the best one out of all those teams.
Yeah, and it feels the most mature. It feels the most ready. It also feels like a team and a group that they realize, too, that if they want to win a championship, which is clearly their goal, they can't be having all the drama that all these other teams have and that they've had in the past. So they're almost trying to eliminate distractions. That's what Mazzulla does. That's the vibe I get from covering coaches, et cetera, that he's trying to eliminate distractions in a press conference. When they ask him about, well, this guy, you gave this many minutes, why didn't you do this with the lineup? You just, you know, that's just today's game. Right. We'll see tomorrow. Like, he's trying to alleviate anything being a freakout session for anybody, which is a positive thing. But again, he's also a jokester in a way, which a lot of West Virginia fans know from his college days, that he was a little prankster there in college as well.
Oh, and is that right?
A little bit too. And him and Huggins talk all the time. And I do also think one thing can be dispelled, because Huggins dropped this bomb the other day that Mazzulla, apparently, even from when he was coming out of WU, quickly realized it wasn't going to be a player. It was going to be a coach for him if he was going to have success in basketball, and that he always wanted to be an NBA coach, never really a college coach, which is a means to an end when he was at small schools. So I think the whole, because there's a lot of West Virginia fans that now have a pipe dream that when Huggins retires, they would try that if Mazzulla does not win a championship with the Celtics, they would try to pull him and have him take over the Mountaineers program. That is something that Huggins says he does not want to do. He wants to be an NBA coach, that if the Celtics thing doesn't work out, he would like to move on to another NBA job and be an NBA guy, NBA lifer. So that's interesting as well, because I don't know if everybody would have thought of that of Mazzulla either. So we'll see what the league really does think of him too, if he does not win with the Celtics, and how his next job will look if he gets one. But there's pressure there, but he got a good group. So maybe it could be a great Celtics all-time coach if they do win a title, because then they're going to certainly not be in any way interested in cutting bait. But he's the full-time man right now. It was not Brad Stevens who stepped back onto the bench. It was Joe Mazzulla, the West Virginia Mountaineer, and he's led him to the NBA's best record so far. But you're judged by the postseason with the Celtics. We'll see what he does from here on out. But the pressure of that interim tag is gone now. He is the full-time coach. and we'll see if we can have an offseason with a little bit less drama, championship or not. Josue, I definitely appreciate the time, man, for sure. So enjoy covering Missoula, because I know that it's fun for sure. And a lot of Mountaineer fans are rooting them on and following along with the journey as well.
It's never a dull moment for sure. I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you for thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely. Have a good day, man. So again, Josue. Josue Pavone, again, from CLNS Media. He is the host of the Cedric Maxwell podcast, Celtics great and Celtics analyst currently as well. And just interesting to hear from somebody who's actually covering the team that's actually in there, because obviously Mountaineer fans, us who've covered Missoula and know Missoula from the past, you know the story, you know how he got there, you know how surprising it is. You thought he could be a good coach. You knew he knew basketball, but wow, 34, first major job, didn't even have a major one in college. It's the Celtics. They're just in the finals. There's drama. Best record. But could anybody do that? Because they're so loaded. They're so mature now. They've been through it, and they're so good with the roster and now having two legit stars that are perennial all-stars, etc. We'll see now into the postseason. I was thinking they were going to wait until the end of the playoffs because, again, if they lose in the second round, maybe the Celtics fans would have pause, the media would have pause, and he started getting killed, and the franchise would have pause because there's pressure there. They went and win another championship. Stevens wants to do it as an executive. He didn't get it done as a head coach, didn't even get him to the finals. So I thought they would wait because if it goes south, and it could, you just don't know how someone's going to react to the postseason until you get there. They might regret it, but regardless, even if they would lose in the second round, they're not going to be cutting bait in this offseason when they just took the interim tag away. So he's going to have a year now to really learn on the job. He wants this. They want this. They feel ready. He's adjusting. You hear how he's molding himself from when he first got the job to now. And again, it's that blend of being a tough coach, a Huggins-like, to also being a player's coach in a way and being more friendly with the players than, say, a Belichick would be. Kind of, again, taking a page out of Huggins' book. He can have fun with them as well as being tough on them and give them the tough love when necessary and clearly make it known that, hey, I'm in charge, which is harder to do in the NBA because, hey, these players are getting more money than their coach in many respects, certainly the stars. But Missoula has that respect from them, which is a big deal, and we'll see how that now ventures towards a path into the postseason. East wide open. Embiid's health is a question, obviously, on the Sixers. Harden has not got it done in the postseason in the past. The Bucks have Giannis. Do they have a second star? No. They have solid players, though. They now have another all-star. They got Crowder to come aboard. They won a championship with just Giannis and kind of the rest of really, really good players before, though. So why is that still a question? And outside of those top teams in the East, nobody really feels good enough or ready enough. Cleveland, very, very good, a great story. But they feel like they're the Celtics 3 years ago or so. They're not ready yet. The Knicks, they're not ready yet. There's a lot of teams that aren't ready yet. We'll see what happens in the East Conference. They got to at least get out of that, though. That's where the pressure is. And then if they don't and they're upset, Missoula won't be fired now. But they're going to have to at least get out of it next year. Or I would not be shocked the way the Celtics move, that if they don't get to the finals this year, certainly if they get there and don't win a championship to a team outside of the Suns, because they'd be favored against everybody else, and then next year they don't get to the finals, so you go 2-3 years, you don't win a championship, you don't get to another finals, they probably would cut bait with Missoula. But I'd imagine he's had enough success now. If he's building these regular season wins, at least he'll get another NBA job, which is what he wants. So sorry, Mountaineer fans. He doesn't want to come back to West Virginia. He doesn't want to coach at college. He got his premier job. He grew up a Celtics fan and in the area. And this is it for him. But if this somehow doesn't work out because the pressure is immense there, he'll get another NBA opportunity. He'll want another NBA opportunity. He's young enough. He'll have many, many years to go. So why don't I get the Missoula story from somebody who covers the team? I'm going to try to do this again maybe as well and get, you know, keep tabs. Maybe we're going to cover some Missoula games, certainly into the postseason, with this journey now becoming full-time and becoming a process that's going to go at least to next year, if not after that, you would imagine now, although you never know in the NBA with the quick hook sometimes that is on these guys. But Joe Missoula has dealt with pressure and drama to get the NBA's Boston Celtics to the league's best record at the All-Star break. We will now see how he handles it and how they move throughout the rest of the regular season and then into the playoffs, how that is handled and what they do. And could we have the ultimate capper, the ultimate Disney movie from West Virginia? Well, first from New England, then from West Virginia. And a Mountaineer, and it's happened before, obviously, with Jerry West, but a Mountaineer, this would be wild. First year, 34 years old, Never a major premier job, not even in college before, certainly not in the NBA. Going from an assistant off of drama, 1 year in, NBA best record, and then NBA champion with the team you grew up watching, an historic franchise that has only won the one in the last 30-plus years despite having the most of any franchise in league history. Does he get them that second since the Larry Bird days? Does he get them that extra championship they so want? Does he do what didn't happen last year when they were in the finals and lost to the Warriors? And does he do it in his first year? Does Joe Mazzulla, a West Virginia Mountaineer, win an NBA championship as a head coach of the Boston Celtics in his first year on the job at 34 years old with really no experience prior? That would be an incredible story. That's a story that you're watching, I'm going to be watching, and obviously Celtics fans are going to be joining you and watching, if not the closest of anyone. We will see. We don't know. It's already been a remarkable, great story so far, but wow, if that's how it ends. Just imagine that.